Good evening. Welcome once again back to Anthony Gordon, Straight Talk with Anthony Gordon on WSNR 620 AM in the Metro New York area, WJPR 1640 AM in Highland Park, Edison, New Jersey, and of course on talklinecommunication.com. So one of the reasons that we decided to call the show Straight Talk is when we invite guests who've achieved success in various disciplines, in various vocations, we try and speak very openly, and the kinds of questions that we feel the public at large wants to know, and keep it very straight, as opposed to brushing things under the carpet. So it's a real pleasure and an honor to have the special guest this evening, Shulam Lemmer, who, it's interesting, on the one hand, the listeners might know Shulam as the angelic voice who had humble beginnings, and then one of the things we can discuss became the first person that I believe in, you know, coming from an Orthodox background to be approached by a major record label and be signed by a division of Universal, which is an incredible achievement. And yet in the same breath, I'll for the listeners' edification, when Shulam and I first met at a Project Inspire convention, the clear thing that hit me is the down-to-earth, real humility. Met Shulam with his wife and kids. We were down in the hotel. A lot of what my quote-unquote day job is work with a business management group, which represents a lot of high-profile celebrities and music performers who, you know, get very impacted by the glamour and the glory, and the unfortunately there's a lot of sort of arrogance and entitlement that comes with that. There was the furthest feeling that I felt when I was with Shulam. So firstly, good evening, Shulam. Welcome to the Straight Talk with Anthony Gordon. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Anthony, or may I call you Hanan?
Whichever one you prefer.
So thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. That was way too kind. I appreciate it.
So I think you know me well enough by now to know that that comes from the heart. And I think that I was speaking to a number of people that sort of helped put the questions together for the show, and there was some sort of consensus as to what I think our listeners would want to get your thoughts on. And that's, firstly, if you could share with us just a little bit about your beginnings and really at what point you really felt, you know, this is my tough kid. This is a matana min hashamayim that Hashem has given me a beautiful voice with an unusual range. When did you have that feeling? And I guess the flip side of the question is, once you realized that this is perhaps a matana min hashamayim, if you sort of feel with it comes a responsibility.
First of all, to answer on the second question, I mean, it's a great question.
Thanks.
The responsibility is definitely there. The more you see what an impact you have on people, and the more you see what it does to other people, then the responsibility gets bigger.
Sure.
So that happens automatically, and it's, you know, very obvious, and it's something to be mindful all the time, regardless of what you do.
Right.
In or out of the studio, or in or out of music, it's, you know, people will tell you, teenagers or kids or people from all backgrounds and all ages,
sure,
will tell you that, you know, what kind of feedback it, or impact it had on them. So that definitely has a responsibility to
sure
it. In regards to the music and growing up, I grew up, you know, in the traditional Bar Park Hasidish home. We had the regular music, Hasidish mm-hmm music, and my father did like to listen to La Chazanis.
Yep.
So I grew up listening to Chazanis. My brother is a well-trained Chazan. Yanki Lemmer is a Chazan in Lincoln Square Synagogue. So I grew up while he was learning Chazanis. I, you know, as a teenager, I was involved in that as well. But I never really planned to be anything specific, a singer or a chazan. It enjoyed it. It never occurred to me. But my first time I actually did sing on stage was a cousin's wedding.
Yep.
Cousin Kasana. And my sister was the one that pushed me, like, go on, this, we want you to sing.
Wow.
And I was, and still am, but way more than, very, very shy. Like, I did not have the confidence to go on a stage. I really had confidence to speak up between my friends, but to get on the stage. Once I was there on the stage,
so you would consider
I remember
yourself,
that.
Would you consider yourself a generally more of an introvert?
I guess you can say this. You can say it, but in certain areas, I am an extrovert. So I don't think it's either or. It's, I don't know.
Yep.
But when I remember singing then, I was, I think, 12 or 13, I felt so comfortable.
That's
and
amazing.
It was still not my type of thing to do, but yet I felt so uncomfortable.
So comfortable. Yeah.
But I never really thought of pursuing it. It was always in the back of my head. But later on, in my teenage years, after yeshiva, especially when I was in Israel, I did sing. I liked to sing because my voice was already on certain albums. I recorded professional albums, so people wanted to hear me here, wanted to hear me there. And then I started joining choirs. After I got married in New York, I joined the Shir choir. And then people started asking me, you want to do a solo here, a solo there. And I started doing solos.
Amazing.
So I kind of felt like whatever, it was never planned.
Yep.
And Hashem always put me in a certain position and to show me, okay, this is what you're going to do. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. And I felt like it was really, I've been guided.
For sure.
On what to do. So, whatever you are in a certain field, you always strive to be the best.
For sure.
And to be a singer, I always thought about, like, the greatest accomplishment is getting a record deal. I didn't think was possible because of the limitations of a firm person.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could hear my family and close friends will tell you that it's always been like a dream.
Amazing.
And lo and behold, it actually happened. I got an email from Grant Parker.
I want to talk about that in a second. But one thing that you touched on, which I think I want to just drill down on, is like when you are on the stage. Performing, I've seen you at a convention that we've shared, and you seem so at peace, so in the zone, so comfortable. And I do a lot of speaking at Jewish events. One of the things that I'm asked pretty often is, how do I know? How does one know one's tafkid? How do you know one's calling? And there are many ways to answer, but one of the ways that I always respond is that in life, most people have an event or there's a phone call or there's an interaction, and they just feel a certain sense of connectivity, a certain sense of peace. And that's one of, the signs that's the reason why your soul was sent to this world. So I think just the way you exude just peace and comfort and confidence, to me, it seems clear, that Hashem sent you down with this matana for this calling. So it's just the way the way you carry yourself behind a microphone, it seems like you are miles away when you're singing, which is beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to hear that it comes across as that, and it resonates with the audience that way, and that means a lot.
For sure. Okay, so let's fast forward the story. Graham Parker, who I believe is president of one of the label groups under Diva Gold, which is actually a division of Universal. I'm part of my quote unquote day job, as you know, is dealing with a lot of folks in the music and entertainment industry. So I understand the magnitude of sort of someone of that level reaching out to you. But for the listeners that are with us, walk us through what happened, the humble beginnings in Borough Park, and then lo and behold, an email apparently pops up in your inbox.
It was a regular day at work.
Yeah.
And I get an email. My name is Graham Parker. I'm the president of Decca Gold, a division of Universal Music.
Yep.
I love your music online. I listen to you.
Amazing.
I would like to meet you, something like that. So just like you mentioned earlier, for people to understand what this means, usually, I didn't know that at the time, but usually the way it works within record labels, they have A&R people
Correct.
To scout out for talent, and they bring it to the A&R manager, and the A&R manager gets it approved by the team, and then, you know, obviously the president of the label will sign off on it, and we'll get a certain deal or something. This is came directly from the president of the label.
Which is so unusual.
Exactly. And yeah, so I didn't know, honestly, I did not know what that, you know, if it's true or not, but I figured I'll respond and see what it's all about. A few days later, we had coffee and Ragalach and a bakery in a coffee shop in Brooklyn in Borough Park. And, you know, right away we started sharing about, you know, what my career is all about, what kind of music I'm singing and what he's been doing. He's, you know, recently started at the label and what he's trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish, find new talent. And
amazing.
He basically said that he's been following my music for quite some time, for quite about like a year or so, 2 years.
And this is purely online, the stuff that you'd on YouTube that you had put on your YouTube yourself.
Correct. Yeah. From performances.
Amazing.
Yeah, and since then he's been quite impressed and been following me. And since he's been in the label, he was trying to get new talent as well. So right away, he's like, well, I have this guy, a Hasidic guy, and they're like, it sounds incredible. Go ahead, reach out to him, see what we can do.
Amazing.
And, you know, from then on, it wasn't simple. It took some time, but yeah, Baruch Hashem, we were able to get something together and get an incredible record deal. And we're working on the forthcoming album, which is going to be called The Perfect Dream.
Amazing.
And we're really looking forward, hopefully, it'll be out in November.
Amazing. So the question that I know went through my mind and some of the other folks as we're preparing for the show is, you know, as I said before we went live today, the seeing what happens sometimes sadly to a person's outlook on life, their personality, their character, as success and fame becomes more part of their life. You know, unfortunately, I've seen myself in and around the business management industry and working with professional performers. There's a big Yetzer of horror of, you know, once success increases, you know, then the humble beginnings are left behind and a person's attitude changes. So I started the show by saying when you and I met for the first time, it was so clear to me that so much of your attraction is your authenticity. You're so real. The question that I would have, and I'm saying this just as a friend and wanting only the biggest success for you, is how do you sort of hold on to the essence of who you are, the principles that clearly you grew up with, the essence of the culture that you want to impart your children, as you, God willing, get a higher profile and get more of a recognition outside of the Jewish world and sort of that balance. If you could speak to that, I think that would be something that I think would resonate with our listeners.
Sure. So yeah, of course. Thank you for making that question very formal and.
Sure.
So I appreciate that. But of course, first of all, for myself, I kind of say, like we mentioned earlier, everything was Siyat HaShemaya. You have to be blind not to see it.
Sure.
Every step of the way, where my career, and especially when it wasn't planned, specifically what I want to do, you know, giving an opportunity here and an opportunity there, working, you know, just to get music, and then, you know, this opportunity happened, and even from here on, so many things, getting, the record deal is not the first thing and it's not the last thing.
That's
in order to continue success, you need to get you know, a concert agency, you need to get a management agency, and Baruch Hashem, you know, month after month, amazing, things have been happening, and, you know, you've got to be blind not to see the Siyata D'Shamayah. Sure. So the more you see this, actually, the more it strengthens your belief. That's on my end. And then, in general, the perspective from people outside, especially outside the firm market or the Jewish world,
right,
this is actually the message I believe and hope to convey, that you are who you are first, and then it shouldn't limit you to do, absolutely, what you love or what you can. So it goes out to any person in any scenario. You don't have to change who you are and, right, what you believe in order to follow your dreams or go after opportunities. So,
yes,
you know, the fact that I'm being, you know, singing at a, you know, the best example would probably be the most iconic American setting. So as a field, let's say, sure, baseball game.
Yep.
yeah, the seventh inning stretch at Fenway Park, or, right, you know, right, something similar to that with my pays and,
yep,
you know,
yep,
the whole Hasidus Lavush straight out there. And it would, people, you know, in general, people would have that assumption,
yep,
of something else. And then a second later, it's like, hey, you know, it sounds good. And yeah, so that's essentially what the message I'm trying to bring, and basically to say we as human beings have so much more in common,
for
that,
sure,
that we have that differentiate us.
I think it's so true. But the other point you made is that, you know, as you know, the company that I work with represents a number of professional athletes as well. I've found that obviously as an Orthodox Jew, for example, who has the opportunity to be around professional footballers, NFL guys, they've told me, you know, Hanan, Anthony, whatever they call me, that one of the reasons why we reach out to you, we're comfortable, is that you're comfortable in your skin, you are who you are, you're not trying to be like us, which is a shocking thing for me. In other words, you're not trying to speak using our slang words or dress like us. The fact that you are in a weird way, they respect the fact that there's somebody, you know, who's got a different background, and therefore maybe someone who's got a different perspective, and is not trying to be one of their groupies. I think that on the contrary, if you're very true to yourself, I think that resonates with people.
Yes, 100%. And each person could translate into their own belief or into their own comfortability where they are, not necessarily religion, or it could be ethnicity, race, or background. Or everyone could be comfortable with who they are in whatever scenario they are.
For sure.
So I think that resonates very well with people.
So if a Kaddish Baruch Hu came to tonight in an epiphany and said, Shalom, what's the chalom? 5 years from now, 7 years from now, if you could paint whatever dream that with God's help, the way your career, that you would like your career to roll out, and you would like to, the way you would like things to come together, where would I be interviewing Shalom Lema 7 years from now? If you can let your creative juices go, let your mind go, and if you speak your dream, tell me what would be happening in your life 7 years from now. If you allow your chalomis just to run free.
That's a great question. So to answer the question, first of all, like when we started, I never really planned specific actions. Like I never dreamed a certain scenario. But what I would say is my dream is to have reached as many people as possible and made a very positive impact on as many people as possible in their own lives and in the lives of a greater, it be it firmness or in their own connection with Hashem.
Yep.
And most importantly as well, to kind of take away or break the stigma, the perception of whoever, of whatever minority group I can represent. It could be a Hasidic person or an Orthodox person or even a Jewish person or any perception that people would have, and break down the stereotypes and break down the indifferences that we all have and just make this world a much brighter and better place.
Beautiful. And I think you know, you, the one medium that brings people together and transcends all cultures and all you know, all differences is music. And I think that you know, if people sort of close their eyes and just allow you know, your talent you know, and your melody to enter their hearts and souls, I think it has a unifying impact. I think that it's the voice of one's soul, regardless of background, culture, and creed, which I think is such a beautiful medium to bring people together.
Yes, I agree, and I always say music is a universal language, pun intended.
Beautiful. Well, okay, so if that's part of the dream, and I hear it, and I think that's beautiful, and I think, knowing you, I think that, you know, God willing, you are well on your way to making that happen. Do you see yourself more involved in live performances, more involved in back, you know, getting in the studio and producing more more on the sort of the album side, a mixture of both? How would you see this best playing out?
I would probably be a mixture of both, but based on my experiences and what I've seen and what I've done, the live performances, the way you can connect to people and have an impact on people, there's nothing like a one-on-one performance, and right. It has a huge, huge impact on myself and on the people. So I would like to see a balance of both. You know, the albums is something that people will listen to in their own comforts, their own home, or in the car, wherever they listen to music, and then you know, learn the songs and get to know me as an artist and get to know the music, and then eventually you can. So that starts kind of the dialogue, and then with the shows, it would take that to the next level and have an even stronger impact. So
for sure,
yeah, I think it's a combination of both.
And as you know, as God willing, your career progresses. How do you balance, you know, having to perform, having to record, with also the fact that you're a father, you're a tati, you're a husband, you're, you know, and I know the core of your, you know, of who you are and what you believe in. How involved, you know, is your mishpoche in you know, in your professional part of your life?
That's a great question. It's not easy, I can tell you that.
Sure.
But it has its advantages as well. You know, you can be home at certain times to take the kids to school and pick them up from school and play with them during the day, which people that have a regular job don't have that opportunity, only on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So it has its advantages, but it has its challenges as well. But whatever, you know, whatever opportunities come, we always discuss it, see if it's possible for the family, the kids look good, try to, you know, divide it into, space them out, and it shouldn't be too much of an impact. And it has, you know, the advantages for them too. They get to go to nice places for Shabbos and Yerushalayim. So it's, you know, it's in and out. So,
it's a balance.
And in general, this goes not only with family, but also with certain performances in certain places. I always have rub on them and ask questions.
Sure.
So I'm fully confident with what I'm doing in the right path, and I'm you know, whatever decision I make, I know 100% that I'm, you know, backed by rub on them and obviously, like you mentioned, family.
Sure. So I want to wrap this up so we can make sure that we can sort of bring the program together with one of your songs. But I know that one of the things that a lot of people have asked me when I said that you were going to be in the studio is get a sense from you, who influenced your music? Like, when you think of prominent people in the music performance world, you know, I don't know if it's contemporary or in the opera world, or who are the people that you think impacted your style and the way you approach your own unique performance you know, it could be in the Jewish or the secular world.
It's a combination. It's a great combination. I think in general, it's mostly the Jewish world. The Jewish, because this is what I grew up listening to. I think the Chazanis aspect adds a lot of heart and soul to to whatever you sing, because you believe, you have to believe, and you have conviction whenever you're davening.
Sure.
I think that adds a little bit more to that. And, you know, every time there's new songs that I need to learn, or they're introducing me to different songs, and I listen to the original artist, and you always try to make it your own. So I don't know. I really don't know. It's a combination of listening to many different aspects growing up, and taking what resonates with you and what you like, and adapting that, and ultimately making your own style and your own, making every song your own.
Beautiful. So I want to keep my word to wrap this in a ribbon by saying the following. You know, I don't think there's no such thing as a coincidence, and it's obviously not by chance that we met at Project Inspire, which is an organization I'm very involved in, because I think that one thing that's clear to me is someone like yourself, whose whole personality, and I think you also know me well enough to know that I'm trying to stay away from Khanifa and be very sincere. I think your whole personality, is one of Edelkeit, is a one of Simcha, it's one of sincerity. And when people, just by the way you carry yourself, and then sort of see you on a stage and hear the angelic voice that you impart, what I think that does, and I've sort of felt it myself, even at the convention, it ignites the Pintel Yid in people that are far away, people that are grew up in the Torah Welt. It just increases the brand, the fire, and so I think that it's very fitting that you in many ways you are bringing people home, those that are, some that are Karuv, some that are Rachok. So it's I think quite fitting that we bring the show to a close with the song Bring Him Home, where I think the listeners will get a sense of you in action. Shalom, I want to thank you again. It's always a pleasure and an honor, and I know in this journey we're gonna be together and cross paths many times. And I want to wish you bracha and hatzlacha. You deserve the greatest success, and you should continue to touch the heart and souls of as many people that have the honor of crossing your path. And I want to wish you continued hatzlacha as we play out with Bring You Home by Shalom Lamba. Thank you for your time, Shalom.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the straight talk, as you say.
Thank you. God bless.
God had granted me a son.